Previously, on Dragons Not Included.
You open the chest and you find a veritable treasure trove of items.
His innate powers of hearing cash has mean Hans has moved over to this corner of the room.
There is one piece that seems to be a handwritten note.
Facts on. Vorlesh has already left to meet with our Lord's daughter in the Abyss.
Okay, so what do we do about any of this?
So you make your way back. You recognise this as a small shrine to the goddess Serenray. What you don't recognise, though, are six armoured figures standing around a crying young woman. Your sacrifice aids the cause of good.
Fellow Iarmatean, you debase yourself.
We have no choice.
There's always a choice. The light of Iarmidae will guide us forward.
And as he does so, Scrutiny will cast Silent Image.
Yes, as Eldon draws Radiance, pointing it to the sky, and the silhouette of a tall, chelish woman standing behind him in the same position, the Crusaders drop to their knees.
By the Inheritor, what do we almost do?
Greetings, and welcome to the Dragons Not Included podcast, a tabletop role-playing game podcast where we're playing Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous. My name's Stephen, and I'm the Game Master for our adventure.
My name's Joe, and I'll play Scrutiny for Tiefling Illusionist Rogue.
Hi, my name is David, and I play Eldon Aegis, the Human Paladin of Iarmidae.
Hello, my name is Rowan, and I play Istra, the Human Cavalier.
Hi, my name is Dan, and I play Han, the Relic Hunter Inquisitor of Drang.
As you make your way towards the makeshift palisade that surrounds the Inn of the Defender's Heart, you're stopped by one of the guards. Password?
Silverstrom.
All right, come on in. You can bring those survivors with you. It's good to have you back.
Yes.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
And this nondescript guardsman, who you've never met before, will...
We will call him Stephen.
Yes, every NPC who does not have a name is automatically Steven.
You know, they should probably change that password at some point.
Probably.
I feel like that is exploitable.
1, 2, 3, 4, enter, right?
Yeah.
See, for that, they have to use a combination of upper and lowercase and symbols. So when you just walk up, it's uppercase A, Q, Q, 4, exclamation mark.
Oh, no, what happens is you get to the entrance to the Defender's Heart and there's a button that says, "Are you a robot?"
I was going to say, there's a capture, but the capture just forces you to essentially do a cross on your chest, and it's like, if you're a devil, well, poof, up in flame.
Oh.
Exactly. It works on the honesty system like they do with cops. It's like, if you're possessed by a demon or like a shapeshifter, you have to tell me.
They set up 3 points between the main entrance and the actual entrance where you have to tell the password 3 times, because then it's, you know, triple authentication.
The honor system would work for devils, but not for demons.
Mm.
You walk in to your safe haven in Kennebris. Although the interior of the inn is a little different, some of the tables and chairs have been rearranged since your last few excursions. There's a lot more survivors now, thanks to the ones you rescued when you rescued Scrutiny's parents. One table is shoved into a quiet corner. You see your companion, Anevia Tiravade. She's hunched over, looking through a pile of journals and scrolls of maps that have been stretched out of the table, pinned down with paperweights and knickknacks and just random things that have been scattered around. Wearing her resplendent golden armor, the half-orc Irabeth Tiravade is debriefing and dressing down a small group of Iarmidaean crusaders, the ones you recognized as your latest confrontation when they were about to unfortunately slay a woman in their misjudgments. And the largest of these new tables has been stacked haphazardly with books. Piles look like they're close to toppling over under the weight of them. And standing around it are 5 figures you recognize, and 1 you do not. first. The elven wizard Aravashniel, leaning on his walking staff, is in deep conversation with the four librarians, including Eula and Pragmatism.
Yo, Pragmatism's back.
They're in conversation with a man that, well, all but scrutiny have not seen before. This human man of advanced age, of silver hair, and strong angular jawline, was talking to Aravashniel, and as you enter, he turns to look at you. And when he turns, you see on his left cheek a tattoo of an eagle's claw. And you recognize this man, Scrutiny, as he was your former master. Quindus Orlan, the head librarian of the Broken Black Wing.
Quindus, how are you doing? Are you okay?
So these are the ones you were telling me about, Aravashniel. Scrutiny, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's good to see you again. You are one of my exceptional students. Same what happened about the Dresden business.
Yes. Passed by Blackwing. It was not in a particularly...
Yes. Aravashniel has been filling me in, and Erebeth filled in the rest. Seems that you've done me a great service. When this whole business started, I was by the Temple of St. Goodwill. I tried to save as many people as I could, but when I got to the library, I thought it was completely destroyed. I thought my services were more needed elsewhere, and that's where I found my way to the Defender's Heart. I'm glad that you found the library yourselves. If they had died without knowing, I don't think I would have ever outlived the shame.
Well, you know, every little helps, as they say. So, right now we're in more of a recovery phase, just sort of gathering what's happened.
I wish that was the case, Scrutiny, but I'm afraid I'm rather busy right now. There's something I need, something that will help all of us, but I have to leave now, and I have to leave by myself.
Okay.
I shall see you soon. I'm sure Aravashniel and Erebeth will be impressed.
Mightn't it be prudent to at least have you informed at least someone of what way you're heading?
Of course. Captain Erebeth knows. Well, thank you to the rest of you for saving my colleagues. I shall see you soon. He heads off to leave the inn.
He was very intent.
All right, could someone tell me who the hell that was? I can't see, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was Quintus. He's the head of the Blackwing Library. My former tutor.
Oh, very good.
He was very intense.
Now that I think about it, he might have been able to help you with your blindness, but he's gone now.
To be fair, he sounded very secretive and on a mission, so either, well, if I was betting man, either he's going to betray us, or he's going to be dead. So one or the other.
It's a coin flip. He's an interesting fellow.
Fair.
He seems well-equipped. He should be fine, but...
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll survive whatever he's intending to do.
Though, speaking, yes, we should probably find out if there's a cleric nearby who can help with poor Hans' blindness.
What do you mean? I'm totally fine. Hans is knocking over several cups.
And if not, you've got Aravashniel.
Yeah, Aravashniel is politely standing with your conversation to him.
We've got Aravashniel here, and you can borrow his cane. You know, he can be your blindness mentor.
Oh, great. Being led by that blind fool, I'm glad I can't... we're not here yet.
Oh, hey, Aravashniel.
Oh, nice to see you.
He's blind, he can make the blind jokes.
As an actual blind, though, I am offended.
So, I assume you've been gallivanting around more and getting up to more hijinks. You find any useful information for me?
Mum's alive, and my dad, which I am very grateful for.
And I am glad to hear it, Scrutiny.
It does depend exactly on what you mean by useful. We found our way to the cult safe house that was mentioned in that note. Not much to find there, just mostly a trap. Found our way to what remained of the Tower of Estrad and found a small forward base being used by cultists. Cleared that one out.
How much of the tower remains?
Stephen, how much of the tower remained?
I think it was literally only the ground floor plus the basement.
Not very much. A lot was lost.
It's a shame. A lot of rare artifacts from the Crusade kept there.
Yes. Yes, they were. Oh, we also have a note. We believe that there is another major demon active by the name of Minago.
Minago, that is worrying.
Minago, yes. Of the Red Morning Massacre.
Yes. Her name is spread far and wide across the history of the Warboon. Hopefully her dealings with Canabres are done, but we should probably go and inform Commander Irabeth about this.
Oh, actually, there was one more thing. In the note we found from Minago, it mentioned something that none of us could quite decipher. It said that they were trying to get a hold of a Nahindrian crystal. I don't know if you've ever heard of one.
His face sort of contorts as if he's thinking. That is most unfortunate. I'm afraid you're not the first to come with me today with news of a Nahindrian crystal. Quendus, he's been researching them. He thinks that has something to do with what's in store to happen to Kenebris. Looks like you've all but confirmed it. When he gets back from his mission to acquire something, he would not tell me what. He can help you.
Well, let's hope he's swift.
Believe me that even though he was not a member of the Rift Wardens, Quendus is a stubborn old man. He was the one that founded the Broken Blackwing, and he's been through some of Kenebris's greatest battles. I'm sure he'll be able to survive out there. He did so far throughout all the slaughter that happened, and rescued quite a few people to boot.
Bodes well.
Yes, the old man's a bit of a tough old goat.
Indeed he is. Ah, and speaking of the Rift Wardens, he grows rather somber. I think I may have had an epiphany on at least who was responsible for their deaths. I don't know how familiar you are with the Blackfyre Adepts. They're a loosely bound sect and cult of demoniacs, worshippers of strange alien intelligences and things beyond the sane planes of reality. They wield a power known as Blackfyre, an eldritch force which can burn holes in the fabric of reality itself. The Rift Wardens combat them and seal back any planar incursions we can find. But with our attention directed at the World Wound, they still manage to slip by. And I think this man, or I can't even call this mass of worms in the shape of a man. I've heard rumors, and as you know, my rumors are unfortunately accurate a lot of the time. A man named Xanthir Vang is a leader of the cult of the Blackfyre Adepts, who dwells deep within the World Wound. If he came for something in Kenebres, it can't be good.
Now, when you say worms, do you mean like worms?
I mean foul grave worms that feed on the carrion of those who are deceased, formed into the shape of a man.
Oh.
Ooh.
Didn't we see some weird worms?
We did see some weird worms, yes.
Or a weird worm?
Yes. Hans found some in the librarium.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they were one part of his corporeal form.
Oh, dear.
There's a lot of worms.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. To make something the size and shape of a man, you need hundreds.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to make those worms pay.
Individually. Cumulatively, it works out better.
Well, that missive you found, you'd best give it to Erebeth.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
She'll know what to do and who to inform. I shall speak to you soon. Good luck, yes. My friends, and rest well.
Same to you, Aravashno.
After you've been having this conversation, one of the librarians, Eula, had sort of slowed down her work on sorting through whatever they managed to scavenge from Broken Blackwing, and she's intently watching the conversation. But as soon as she noticed scrutiny, you catch her eye, her sort of face darts down and gets back to doing her work again.
So we're fighting a mass of worms. Okay.
I think we just stomp on them.
So we have, at this point now, four major cults and some sort of weird entity from beyond the darkness.
Four? Baphomet, Duskari, Blackfyre Adepts. Who's number four?
Begins with M. You literally just said it like a minute ago. Minog?
No, Minago. No. Minago's a demon.
I thought she had some cultists here.
Yes, but she's operating under Baphomet. That's part of
Okay, Baphomet. So three big cults and one little cult.
That reminds me. Baphomet!
The bag starts ruffling.
You should say that out loud, like a few people like are like shocked and look at you.
Oh no. I get the toy out. Baphomet! And I just sort of indicate
why
that
are we
dances.
Guys, come on, let's not.
Maybe you can program it to do other things. Like if you say different deities, it will react in different ways.
That is something we may want to look into later. There are more pressing matters.
Oh, I guess.
We should probably give this note to Erebeth. And, you know, the war effort. The city's still on fire.
Maybe look at some fixing my eyes.
Also important while we're resting. I mean, that's why we came back. Let's,
as the person who can see, do you want to get this ball moving?
Yes. Let's hand this note to Erebeth. We'll get an update, and then we'll try and find a healer. Right. Let's go. Over to the war room.
The war room, or another table that's being pushed aside.
Oh, you know how it is.
Like three tables away from us. They can hear us, but they've been watching us this entire time. Just
they
go, when are they going to bring it over?
Us after hearing the word Baphomet.
Erebeth, who was, when he first came in, addressing the fallen knights of Iomide you encountered, has now returned to, as you called, the quote-unquote war room. The table piled with journals and maps, and she's joined Anevia there in quiet conversation.
Are we doing a big group strut, or are we just kind of casually? Let's wander over. We're friends. We're all friends here.
Aren't we, Saunter?
We do the friendly thing where we all circle around and say, "Hey, Anevia, how are you doing? You have no way out."
I will point out if we're doing the full like team strut across. Hans will be knocking over as many possible tables and chairs as he goes.
No, you won't, because Istra will be... Istra's guiding you, but she's guiding you round in, like, every which direction, the longest route to get there. You can still knock things, but, like, I'm leading you like a snake.
Excellent. I will be knocking over as many things as possible.
Mugs. A box like someone's like the shield on the side, it clangs.
Hans is just like arms wide, just slapping things.
I'm using my pickaxe as like a walking cane and occasionally just hitting people in the foot.
Ow! Watch where I'm going!
I can't, I'm blind, sir. Can you please move? I say, hitting his foot again.
Yeah, you need to be nice to him, he's blind.
Guys, come on!
Why are you over there? Why are they so far away from us?
During this cacophony, both Erebeth and Anevia turn to look at you. Oh, you're back! Oh, thank the inheritor.
We had a bit of a scuffle.
Well, I must say, things have got a bit livelier here. You've definitely been making yourself known across the city. You've saved quite a few people.
Well, it's the least we can do. More hands will make this easier.
The squad I sent out... They found the Loomises in Horgus's mansion, and they brought them back here. And Horgus was very insistent that we take back a large amount of supplies with us to help us restock. So you must have made quite an impression on him.
He's a nice guy underneath it all.
And I have news that hopefully the ones you found in the village of Neatholm, I think you said it was?
Yes, Neatholm.
Yes.
They should be within us within the next day or so.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I wish I could say that we are here for pleasant reasons and joviality, but we have a couple of pieces of news between grim and not positive.
Well, if you were talking about that young crusader, Kael Venras, she told me what you did and that you managed to lead her back to the light.
Well, that's good to hear, at least. It's such a shame to see people fall so far.
Luckily, you stopped them before they could fall any further.
Yes.
And if they found the light of the inheritor, they'll be on our side once again.
Absolutely. We found our way to the Tower of Estrad, but it's in ruins. Almost nothing salvageable.
Well, I mean, such a large pool target like that, demonic forces would have likely targeted first.
That's not all. There was some of it standing, and it was inhabited by cultists. they had this, and Eldon will hand her the note from Minigo.
She takes it, and in silence you see her eyes following it as she reads it. Oh, looks like Quendus was right.
Speaking of, he's just set out looking for something. Any idea what or where?
He found an abandoned magic shop selling powerful items. He wanted to see if he could find anything that would be useful for our defences there.
Oh, that's useful.
She hands the note to Anevia. Nev, do you think you can make any more out of it than this? Well, having Minago back is definitely a problem. But from what I've heard from my notes and scouts I've been and talked with, she hasn't been spotted in the city at all. So I guess she's been only communicating with this Temple of the Ivory Labyrinth.
To be fair, though, not being seen kind of is a bit of her whole bag.
Indeed it is, but I don't think she would have been able to resist the urge to make herself known during the chaos above.
True. Is there anything else important? I mean, we've got a bunch of cult artifacts we should probably sell at some... Not sell. Have destroyed for money.
Apart from our one favourite.
It is the item that will slowly corrupt you throughout the campaign.
it's the item that we will steadily enchant so that we can use it to slay Korib Zane.
Essentially, what it's going to be is Scrutiny is going to end up like a golem-like figure in the party.
They're precious.
It's going to be the final boss is going to be the statue, but made like 20 times bigger, Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man style from...
Quick, we need some more pop culture references.
Please, that, I'm not going to lie, it did make me think then how actually successful a Baphomet themed toy line would be. Just make like a fantasy Toys R Us, fill it with demon toys, going, yeah, they just do little weird things when you say the name Baphomet. Don't worry about it.
We're just stopping playing Wrath of the Righteous. That's what we're doing now. We're starting our own Baphomet R Us.
Once again, if you found any vile artifacts that the cult left behind, Eagle Knights will be glad to reward you for their destruction. There are still merchants about if you need to get any more supplies, and there are a few more clerics about if you need healing and rest.
Yes, the skirmish at the tower has left us a little worse for wear. Well, Hans has found himself blinded, so if there was any magical healing that could remedy that, that would be greatly useful.
Hopefully it's not as bad as our friend Eric Ashneel. I'm afraid our clerics couldn't do much for him, but it doesn't seem to be too bad from my estimation. Yes, if you rest up, a cleric will see you soon, Hans.
Excellent. I can't really say more than that. I'm just happy I'll have my eyesight back again.
Right. Well, then we'd best get back to it. We should rest up, resupply, and get ready to head out. We still have one more cult location to scour.
You've rested up. Luckily, thanks to the clerics and paladins here at the Defender's Heart, you've been healed, and Hans, your eyesight has been restored to you.
Well,
always nice to be able to see.
And I believe you turned over some things to the Eagle Knights for destruction?
Yes, apart from our favourite thing.
Of course. I think it was, what was it, a couple of vials of unholy water. And a large head.
A good brazen head.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot that we had head all this time.
So, yeah, I believe you did some shopping. And you've looked around through the loot you've gathered across your last few forays out into Kenneres. What nice goodies do you all have now?
Well...
No, you go for it.
No, you.
I was just going to say, we didn't get very much.
I'm going to go first. Yeah. I got the potions. This is mostly sort of a stop-in and rest situation. We're not here on a big buying spree.
No, I did pick up a Cure Light Wounds. I think everyone did, really, other than Eldon, who picked up two.
Listen, I was out. I have no healing. Paladin, infamous for not having any healing.
Yep. I think, everyone, you got the most there, Scrutiny, didn't you?
Yeah. So, First, I have a couple of scrolls of comprehend language, so I just jotted one of those into my spell book, so I can now understand the languages of the world for a minute, I believe it is.
Minute per level, isn't it?
2 minutes. Don't say it's that short.
Yeah, 10 minutes per level. So I can understand the languages of the world for a grand total of 20 minutes.
I mean, 20 minutes is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
You could have a pretty decent conversation, yeah.
Yeah. Also, got a bunch of magical bolts for my crossbow, which is going to help with the crossbow. And on top of that, we all got a bunch of healing potions to split along a lot of us, because otherwise, hey.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important to mention, we didn't buy those bolts. Those are the ones that we got a little while back and couldn't identify. Well,
it was like, well, I don't know what these are.
Oh,
we didn't
right,
buy them,
okay.
No, we just have those.
We just have them, but we're looking at them and went, well, there's something.
There's something going on with those bolts.
But no, you finally, you managed to identify them as well, didn't you? With the, as plus one bolt.
Nice.
Yeah, so after your 8-hour rest here, you're planning to head out back into Kenarus to investigate the last of the 3 safe houses. Isirian Manor. That one is a little further away than all the others. That is closer to Worm Manor and Blackwing than it is anywhere else. In the most southernmost areas of the new Kenarus.
It was a bit of an awkward one to get to on our way in.
I think we didn't know about it.
No, you did.
Oh, yeah. We did. Okay, never mind.
We just decided we were going to basically loop our way through the rings.
Yeah.
As you leave the relative safety of the Defender's Heart and head back out onto the streets, as you traverse the safer routes that you've already travelled before of Gate District, although never feeling too safe, keeping an eye out for danger, as you walk across the broken cobbles and shattered buildings. Luckily for you, though, you wish to enter New Kenarus. And New Kenarus, there is a wall separating each district for defences, but it looks like large gouges in the earth have been ripped open during the demon attacks. And one of them is on your way between here and Nasirian Manor, so you can use this break in the wall as an opportunity to take a shortcut.
Providence is on our side.
Would anyone like me to make a knowledge planes check?
I don't have it trained.
Hang on.
Let me check. I think I've got. Yep. Do planes, trains, and automobiles.
We have 2 party members with knowledge planes and not a single one with knowledge local.
No. I should have knowledge local.
I do have knowledge planes.
Then again, it's probably not going to come up after Kenarus. I have a feeling we're going to move on from here.
Nah.
But yeah, 17.
17. You've heard tales of powerful demons known as Ulcref demons. They're towering, gargantuan creatures of flesh and stone, and they have the ability to just rip through the earth, much like a knife through butter. Though it's not uncommon for them to serve other demon lords, the majority of them are in the Abyssal Realm of the Demon Lord Zovran, the demon lord which Veragorg worshipped, the half-orc that tried to kill Enevia.
Right. Okay. Big demon. Tore up the city by the looks of it. Don't want to fight one of those. If I see one of those, I am going home. Oh wait, this is my... I'm going somewhere else.
You really do not want to fight one of them. They are challenge rating 15.
I'm never fighting one of those ever. Ever, 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 ever.
They're mentioned a bit in the initial attack on Canabras, but they actually don't show up, like, at all.
The
book for chapter one does have a lovely stat block for them, so I just thought I wanted to acknowledge that they're really cool looking, and you'll never fight one, which is sad.
Aww. This is to get us off guard so that when we fight one later, we'll be like, what? You said there wouldn't be one.
I was actually going to ask.
Don't include me in that.
I was actually going to quickly ask, is that to explain the massive gouges in the earth and stuff, basically?
Yes.
Right. Oh, okay.
They just made an entirely new demon for this adventure path, which has the ability to do that, which I think is pretty neat just for a story aspect.
Cool.
The Abyssal Realms, purposefully catered to your destruction.
I mean, that's what the Abyssal Realms are all about.
Artisanally crafted demons.
As you pass the wall into New Canabras, which is relatively untraversed by your group so far, I think you only went to the Tower of Estrod in this section before that was even closer to Gate District than the Syrian Manor.
Everyone be on your guard.
Oh, thanks.
What was once surely a stately manor is now nothing more than a pile of rubble and a gouged trough of ruin. So as you look around, a lot of this section is destroyed. Like, the manor houses were such a juicy target for the demons to attack, although you noticed that Gwyr Manor was relatively untouched, mainly because all his staff fled as soon as the attack started. And though a lot of the manor houses in this section are destroyed, none of them have been razed as completely as Nysirian Manor.
And there's just, like, nothing left at all.
No, it is just essentially just a plain of rubble where a manor house once stood. It's like they specifically targeted and destroyed this building.
Lost.
Well, building's lost.
We'll have to ask Irabeth about her sword.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find no evidence of it here.
Now, are we sure this is where the building was?
According to the map, yes.
I mean, that convenient street sign is still intact, and according to this, Lycerian Road, yeah, this would be where it would be.
That sucks for them, I guess.
Well, this doesn't bode well. We'd better get back and report our findings. Or lack thereof.
The question is, do we want to take the safe route through the Gate District, or do we want to circle around New Canabras to get a better lay of the area?
I mean, I'd just say go in where we can. Safe enough.
I think we should
go for safe route.
Yes, but preserve our resources. Take the safe way around the Gate District.
So you make your journey back to heading north to this gap in the wall, which you used to gain entrance to. You can arrest you here further north. The sound of trumpeting.
Oh, it's a fair.
are these bright, joyous trumpet blasts or like low dirges?
It sounds like trumpeting as it's distorted through the air, but you recognize this noise, Istra, as a cry for help.
As soon as Istra hears it, she takes off running, says, this way!
Istra! Keep holding.
To be fair, again, I will point out she's in heavy armor. She runs speed, you guys can keep up.
She starts running at full speed, a full 1 meter per minute.
Casually follow behind.
Istra is just shouting. Where are you? Keep shouting, I can hear you!
And after a while, the trumpeting falls silent.
Oh no.
You see three cultists of Baphomet. These men and women look ragged. They've been in the streets for days. They're standing around a unholy symbol of Baphomet, a pentagram scrawn into the ground, a mix of blood and entrails and God knows what else, and tied in thick ropes, bound into the circle, is a small elephant
thick fur covers his entire body as this woolly mammoth is tied down, about to be sacrificed.
Ethan, can I just clarify one quick description you used there?
Yes.
You said small elephant.
Yes.
Like,
it's small for an elephant.
How do you spell that small?
So it's... Hang on. Istra will run in and she'll yell, "You get away from my best friend! You get away from Mal!"
I have a number of questions and I feel none of them are going to be answered.
No, this
would
scans.
Like to roll initiative for me, please. Whoa, natural 20.
That is... Oh dear.
That's okay.
That's not awful.
Alright.
16 plus 1 for 17.
So, Istra's out of breath from running, I'm gonna say, because I just rolled a 1 and I have a plus 2, so I am at 3.
Oh no!
Oh dear.
I've rolled a 15.
Is that with your extra bonus?
Yeah.
Fun.
Well, Hans is probably getting into the street and seeing the woolly mammoth is pulling out a book and starting to make some notes as he got a 5.
Ooh.
Well, starting off as you shout, your voice carrying down this alleyway, the three cultists of Baphomet turn to look at you. "This beast is a powerful offering for our lord. Don't worry, you'll be joining them soon enough." And all three of them are going to cast a spell as unholy magic forms around them, protecting them. "Praise Lord Baphomet."
"Praise my boot."
"Elden Aegis."
"Praise Elden's boot."
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to pull a classic Elden move. Let's go. Bah. Well, that's a 16 on the dice, plus 7 for 23 to hit.
A 23 is going to hit this man as he's standing there with glaive in hand as he tries to dodge, but you slash radiance into him.
Hoppa! That's only a 3 on the dice, plus 3, that's 6 points of damage.
Okay, 6 points of damage.
Fine, we'll eat the mammoth. You're first, Iomedaean. Please.
Please, though.
Okay, Scrutiny, you're up next.
Right, okay. So, big fight. Medium-ish fight. I grade this fight a 6 out of 10.
I tried my best.
It's, well, you know, do your homework.
I had a mammoth. What more do you want from me?
I mean, it's a mammoth creature, but is it a mammoth opportunity?
I mean, an opportunity to see a mammoth.
Time will tell.
Ooh.
Ooh, words.
I'm going to cast a spell.
Yo.
Oh.
That will take some time.
Oh.
Oh, a full round action spell, I see. Well,
I believe so.
Leave us in suspense. Hans, you're up.
Oh, Well, this is a mammoth. Maybe some sort of pygmy species. But apparently it's Istra's best friend, so I feel like, Istra, you can do this, as Hans walks up to her. Right, now, this may sting slightly, but I'm going to cast magic on you. Now hold still, as I pull out a small iron nail, just ram it right into her hip.
There
you go. Ow. Cast Gorham's armor, as he's now covered in iron spikes.
Yo.
Yo.
Fitting.
her banded mail ripples with magical power, and iron spikes erupt out of it like thorns on a bramble.
I thought that this would be suitably religious for you.
Gorham's blessing is with you.
Thematic.
Okay.
I meant it's your turn, Istra.
Oh, sorry, I didn't actually hear.
That's okay.
Right. Istra, with her 20 feet of movement, is going to struggle to get super close by the looks of it. But I can get up to one. I could double move to put myself in between Smile and these guys, but they now seem focused on Eldon. So I'm going to run out, Rancir in hand, and I'm going to power attack.
Ooh. Do you run out to the one Eldon's already engaging? Gorham, strength be with you, with your Rancir, and you just put all your strength behind it.
That's not great. Where is my bonus? That's gonna be a 12 to hit.
Looks like all your strength was a bit too much as you just go way over his head and just miss completely.
Istra's just too angry, too unable to see because she's just blinded by rage.
Right. Round two. Time for the cultists. The cultist that's engaging Eldon is going to bring down his glaive upon the paladin. That is a 23 to hit you, Eldon.
Oh, that'll hit.
For a grand total of 7 points of slashing damage.
Oof, ow. That all you got?
There was more of that where that came from, Iomedaean. One of the other cultists, she sees that Istra is running up to assist the paladin. She's going to run around behind Istra, so she's now flanking with the first cultist, and she's going to swing her glaive at Istra. Oh, but on the other end, that is a 7 to hit Istra.
That's not gonna hit.
As she completely misses. She probably slides on with the blood that was used to make this pentagram on the floor.
Slipping and sliding.
It is not up to health and safety standards.
You know, they'd have a field day. Each child will have a field day with this.
Yeah. We'll get the Safety at Workplace Act all over on this.
And the final cultist is going to pull a scroll from his pouch.
Oh, no. That's not good.
And he's going to cast a spell. Mr. Please make me a will save.
How did you know that's my favourite? Now, I'm going to switch dice.
Is this the spell that I think it is?
Quite possibly, as the air distorts around Istra, your perception of reality starts to shift into a large, hulking mammoth skull with demonic eyes staring down upon you.
Oh, so this dice is a lot nicer, actually. That's a 92, so that's 21.
If this is a fear effect, you get a plus 4.
Yeah. So 25 if it's
a fear. 25 is enough to beat the DC of 12, as his scroll of course fear is burnt up, and Istra is probably too distracted and too angry to notice.
Absolutely.
Imagine wasting your time bringing up a scroll and it doesn't work.
Eldon,
the absolute state of these guys. Anyway, I'm going to make a 5-foot step, so now I'm flanking.
We've got a double flank going on. We've got a
double
flank sandwich.
Can we turn it into a triple? Who knows? And I'm going to... now in a flanking position against this foe that has struck me already. I think I'm gonna take another strike. You looking to get striked? That is an 18 on the dice. For a 25.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Yep. All right, let's get this DA. Come on, big numbers.
You've been fighting cultists for the past 4 days. You've become quite adept at it.
Yeah. Come on, big numbers. That's a 4 for 7 points of damage.
7 points of damage. He buckles, but remains standing. Your powers are weak. Lord Baphomet is strong.
Strong enough to take you down.
Just breaks character for like 5 seconds.
He sticks his tongue out. Listen, Paladin laws of Iarmidae say contempt for those that aren't worthy challengers, and Elden has nothing but contempt for these people.
That includes blowing raspberries. Speaking of raspberry, it's your turn, Scrutiny.
Thank you.
You know what? That's fair enough. Yeah, nicely done.
That was good.
That was a good one.
Okay, so... there is an awkwardness now, because the spell I was going to cast on Elden has a range of 30 feet. And for those of you who are not looking at the map that we are looking at, Elden just moved 35 feet away.
Hmm.
You can make a 5-foot step as part of a full round action.
And so I shall make a 5-foot step as a part of a full action in order to close that distance. And cast Enlarge Person as Scrutin grabs from a pouch iron powder, which he throws into the air, and it hangs to form a symbol with which he ignites with a touch of his dagger. And the flames engulf Elden, who then, when they pass, is chonky.
Elden just starts, like, slowly doubling in size until he's standing a good 12 feet, looking down on this cultist. What sort of bonuses does this give Elden?
It gives him a lot. +2 size bonus to strength. -2 to dexterity, -1 to attack rolls and AC due to the increased size. Sorry. His size has increased. There's the size that an enlarged person spell indicates. That's primarily it. +2 to strength, -2 to dex, -1 to attacks. So, more damage overall.
Very good. It changes the size of the weapon.
That was just the spell from last turn. That was a full round action. You still have this turn, too.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Nice. In which case, he'll get a crossbow, his crossbow out, and load a bolt. That will be his action.
Very good. Hans.
Hello. Right. Well, Eldor definitely seems to have that covered now, and most of the square covered, and several buildings covered. Now. Yeah.
I mean, if you've got any AC bonuses, those will be good.
Well, I do have teamwork and solo tactics to allow me to do shield war with people, but I don't think that's going to be helping you right now. Let's just try and stick with the tried and true method. Hans is going to go over here next to Istra for a second. There he goes. Up to the, turning to look at the cultist behind Istra. He's just like, I'm afraid to say... I think you've made a terrible decision today, but if you would like to throw down your weapons now, you will not be brutally murdered. To facilitate this, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to take your thumb, as he rams his pick into her hand.
Ow!
Ooh.
As he's going to try a combat maneuver, doing a dirty trick to get her to drop the weapons.
So this would be more of a disarm.
That's fair.
Disarm combat maneuver, yeah.
Once again, you do not have improved disarm, so she's going to get an attack opportunity on you, Hans.
That's totally fair. I'm trying to rip her hand off, so yeah.
That is a 20.
Oh. You're getting
not a natural 20, don't worry. A modified 20.
Ah, the old dirty 20. God.
Don't say that.
What? Dirty 20? It's a not natural 20.
Does it hit you, though, Hans?
Yes!
Okay, you did reply.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, it hits hard.
Okay, that is 7 points of slashing damage as she failed to hit Istra, but swings and uses her momentum to bring the glaive down on the dwarf that approaches her.
Oh, madam, please, stop resisting this brutal torture.
Can you make me a combat maneuver check?
That is a total of a 19.
19. As you sort of glints in pain, and as the glaive pulls away, you use your pick to hook around the blade and just pull it out of her hands as both weapons go clanging to the floor.
Now, Istra, kill her.
Istra, it's your go.
As Istra turns around, says gladly, as she thrusts her rancid 11 plus minus 1 for power attack. Sorry, I should have clarified I was power attacking. I got plus minus 1 from that. So I rolled a 11 plus 7 minus 1
for the 16. Other one.
Yeah.
16 will hit.
Yeah.
Yo.
Finally damage. Grab my d4. That would be a 7 plus 4, so it's 11.
Ooh, that is a lot of damage.
So, round 3. The cultist. So, this guy that's in the middle of the flank sandwich between Istra and Eldon, he's just going to look up at this towering, glowing crusader standing in front of him. And he was giving a good talk about how Baphomet was strong and Amadeus was weak, but I don't know if he's starting to reconsider this.
It's worth reconsidering.
After all, the Church of Iomedae lets back in anyone who...
their standards seem fairly low.
It's not about letting anyone in. It's about granting anyone forgiveness.
With grim determination, he'll still swing at Eldon.
I mean, it's probably going to do a pretty good job. My AC is garbage.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he can't hit you, he's got real problems.
That's a 10 to hit you, though.
No. Oh no, that's a miss. That's impressively bad.
Those are baby numbers.
Maybe he was wrong all along.
Does everyone like just stop this fight to look at him and go, do you want a second run-up? I mean, Eldon's not going anywhere. We're happy to let you try that again.
Try again?
Yeah.
The other cultist who was disarmed by Hans, she's going to draw a dagger from her belt. This changes nothing. And she's going to lunge in and try to stab Istra because she's in the lovely flank sandwich.
Yeah, that's rude as hell.
No, I get it.
Oh, that's a 13 to hit, including the flank
that's
bonus.
That's not going
to
hit. Oh, wow.
Stephen, you need to change away from your loaded make the party win dice.
Yeah.
Your d20 that has no number on it above a 10.
You mean like a d100?
Just a d10.
Have you been rolling your d10 by mistake?
A d10 goes from 0 to 9.
And finally, this younger cultist at the back. His scroll didn't work, but let's try his spells.
Uh-oh.
He's going to turn to Istra and point. Lord Baphomet commands you to disarm yourself. I need you to make a will save for me, please, Istra.
Oh, you know what? That's a fair... That's actually the smartest thing they've done this fight. Will, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a 3 plus 2, so that's a 5 total.
Oh, dear.
As you are affected by command and on your turn, you must drop your weapon.
Damn. Okay. I suppose.
Next up is Big Eldon.
Big Eldon.
You've now become 12 feet tall and everything's just looking tiny beneath you.
Big Eldon smat now.
Right. Well, I would kind of feel bad attacking this cultist that did so poorly trying to hit Giant Eldon. However, they are still currently locked in combat with my allies, so I'm going to do it. So, to hit the cultist between myself and Istra, we got a... that is a 16 on the dice, plus 7. That is a 23 to hit.
A 23? Is that including the plus 2 from flanking?
That is not including the plus 2 from flanking, so it's actually 25.
A 25 will hit the guy in the middle of the flank sandwich.
Fantastic. And now to swing enlarged radiance, because, oh boy, here we go. So that's 5, that's 4, that is 9, plus 4 points of damage, that is 13. Lucky for some.
As you swing this massive glowing longsword down on this poor fellow, who is at 2 hit points.
Oh dear.
He's on the pavement. His entrails and blood mixed with those that were on the unholy symbol drawn to Baphomet.
Well, on the plus side, it's probably ruined their ritual. Fantastic. Then, as a swift action, I'm going to perform a Lay on Hands on myself, because I'm a little bit damaged, and I don't know how much more I'm going to take, but we've got probably a good chance to rest, so I'm going to just do that. Opa! 2 for 2 hit points. And then, with my move action, I'm going to walk up to the other cultist.
Let's see how you cast now.
Scrutiny, you have your crossbow ready?
Yes. I aim it at the cultists that Hans and Istra are currently engaged with, but not flanking. So this is a de-sandwiched flank.
I believe the correct term is open face flank.
Face.
You'll be at a -4 when shooting into melee, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to take that risk. I have +4, so it says 14. So 14. Does hit?
14?
Yarr.
Would have hit if they did not take the first round casting Protection from Good.
Well, that's
Is scrutiny aligned good?
Yeah.
Yes?
Scrutiny's too morally upstanding. That's why this doesn't hit. He's such a darn good fellow.
He's too nice.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll do some unethical things to balance things out next time.
Speaking of unethical behavior, Hans, you're up next.
Hello. Well.
Hey, yeah. Hey. That's culture shaming or something. Ethics.
Hans is going to look at this fight between Istra and this cultist and go, well, Istra, you seem like you've got this, Hans saying, stepping around the cultist as he's going to go and talk to the other cultist. But about halfway around the cultist, where he's created the flank sandwich again, he's going to pull out his sap and go, and bash him in the back of the head.
So the sap that does non-lethal damage.
Yeah, we could question them.
That is a good point.
So... Now they're in a flank, it's +2, is it?
Yep, +2 to get from flanking with Istra.
So with that, that would become a 17.
A 17? Will hit.
Woohoo! Take 5 damage to the back of the head!
5 damage? Okay, well, she is now taking enough non-lethal damage that she has become staggered.
Istra, quickly, get her in the stomach!
Istra's turn, as the command from the younger Baphomet cultist is still ringing in your mind, you are compelled to drop your weapon to the floor.
So Istra is a cavalier, right? Mm-hmm. She has tactician's training, and she's prepared for situations where she's been disarmed before.
She's prepared?
Yes.
I don't believe this.
It's automatic for her. That once, you know, she's been in these kinds of situations, she's travelled around a bit, but once she drops her weapon, she immediately goes to the training when she's been disarmed, pulls a dagger from her side, and just turns around swinging.
So an action to drop your weapon, and there's an action to drop your dagger.
God.
It's the command spell.
Oh,
yeah, ooh. You're right. Okay. Well, either way, she's now got a dagger. It's a masterwork cold iron dagger, and she's getting ready to go after
guy.
Oh
no, it's a knife fight.
I know who my money's on.
The one that's not staggered. Okay, round 4, the cultist of Baphomet. This younger chap who cast command, he's quite happy with the success he's found, and then this towering paladin just comes bounding up to him. He clutches his glaive with sort of a nervous energy. He's just going, Baphomet, deliver me. And he is going to swing his glaive at Big Eldon. But with an 8...
Really?
He is going to just somehow miss this titanic figure in front of him.
It's the proportions, it just throws you off. Like, you know, you aim for the head and it's like, oh no, that's where his attack is.
Yeah.
That wouldn't stop Hans.
Big oofs. Big oofs for this guy.
Elton, you're going to wreck this man's entire career.
I'm about to destroy this man's whole career. Right. Well, what actions can I take? Oh, it's such a hard choice. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to smack them with my sword.
You just go for the full over the top. You just smite evil on top of it.
It would be very funny. Just be like, yeah, sure, why not? Swift action, smite evil. Let's see how thoroughly I can obliterate this poor cultist. Not like I'm going to need to do that later today.
Just in the afterlife, Baphomet looks down to find his cultists like completely charred, atomized, passing through the gates of death, going, what the hell happened to that one?
You should have been in an easy district. What the hell was his problem? Eldon's just going to say, Baphomet may not deliver you, but I certainly will, as he swings Radiance overhead for a downwards chop. That is another, it was difficult to read the dice. That's a 16. Oh no, that was the one I got last time, so that's 23 to hit.
23 will definitely hit the sculptors.
Oh dear, this could go poorly. This could go very poorly. That's a 3 and a 6 for 9 points of damage, plus 4 for 13 again. Damn, lucky number 13 for real.
Oh, as you swing your sword down and he just buckles under your sword and he is standing barely, blood just running from this humongous wound he's taken, that even if he does not die in this combat, he will probably bleed out somewhere.
Without immediate medical attention, which he will not be receiving.
Scrutiny.
Okay. Did the right thing, bow crossbow, pull string, aim, and I can perform surgery. Let's perform a long-distance lobotomy.
Wow, the scrutiny's really taken off the hands.
Hey, if the key to, you know, getting rid of all these penalties is becoming evil, well, I mean, I've just got to do it.
Hey, I am not evil. I have a character sheet to prove it.
rolled a 3 on the die. I have no bonuses because their penalty gets rid of my bonuses. So it's a 3. Half-Life 3 isn't real.
It is not confirmed, and your crossbow bolt just goes sailing away into the distance, never to be seen again. Hans, you're up.
Right. Sorry, I forgot to say, because I remembered the last time I was using a weapon like this. Looks around quickly. They're resisting arrest! Whack in the back of the head. Stop resisting arrest!
Oh no.
16?
That's 16. Will hit.
Oh wow. For 4 damage.
4 points of non-lethal damage. She is still standing, but she is looking even more dazed. If this were a comedy show, she would have little birds and stars floating around her head. But no, she just has brain damage.
Quickly, Istra, she's resisting arrest. Use lethal force.
Istra, time to settle this knife fight.
Istra is going to, as she's screaming, still in pure rage, power attack with the Masterwork Cold Iron Dagger. We'll see how this works. So I will be taking a -1 sort of look. That's a loaded dice. So that's a 3 plus 6, so that's a 9 to hit.
You get the +2 from blanking with hearts.
That's an 11 to hit.
An 11 misses.
And she just swings and just sort of hits some of the fabric. She's just swinging wildly at this time. She might have been smart and, trained well enough to grab the dagger. The use of it, however, she's just too angry.
She never finished the course.
Exactly.
Okay, round 5, the cultists. The younger chap who was just after being hit with this massive longsword. He's going to quite feebly swing his glaive at Eldon. But my dice are cursed for this day, for that is a 13 to hit.
Ooh, that's close. It's close.
But see, no. I was hitting scrutiny. That's my issue. I should be hitting scrutiny.
Yeah, just turn and shoot scrutiny, see if that works.
And the other one seemed to be unconcerned with the angry knife-wielding maniac. He's going to turn around and stab Hans.
That seems fair at this point, actually.
Oh, that's a bit better. That is a 14 to hit you, Hans.
Just check. Calculating. Afraid no.
They opened this fight so well. They hit consistently, and now I'm missing consistently. Looks like Iomidae really is on your side. And to prove this, it is Eldon's turn.
Fantastic. Well, Eldon would feel a little bit bad for this cultist if they didn't start it, so let's go with a second overhead swing, this time in abject silence, as he knows he's just finishing the job.
It's respectful.
Yeah, exactly. That is a 15 on the dice, plus 7 for a 22.
Well, 15 was his AC. You didn't even need the bonuses.
Oh, yo. God.
Anyway, and now for big radiance damage. Opening dice is a 4. This is promising. Second dice is a 1, so that is 5 plus 4 for 9 damage.
As this poor cultist is laid to rest.
In pieces. As I am going to move around the back of this ritual, because Eldon doesn't want to touch it in case it does something. Around the back of the last cultist remaining, and begins wheeling up for a large hit.
Okay, scrutiny, come on, third time's the charm.
Right. Okay.
If you roll a 1 and shoot me, I'm going to be very upset.
Load the crossbow.
I am providing a pretty good backstop.
And roll 17?
Ooh.
17? We'll hit.
Yeah!
Yo!
And now a flat D8. Aha! 8!
8!
Excellent.
Eight.
As this cultist, who was staggered by Hans and was being violently stabbed nowhere near her by Istra, a crossbow bolt sails out from out of the blue and strikes her in the head, and she collapses to the floor. And we'll see you next week on the Dragons Not Included podcast, where you guys will level up.
Yo!
Yeah!
Level 4, let's go! Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that episode as much as we enjoyed making it. First of all, I'd like to thank Social Introvert on SoundCloud for the use of our amazing theme song. Secondly, for all the background and atmospheric music you've been hearing throughout the episode, we've been using Sirenscape. I would highly recommend it for any sort of game that you're thinking about running. If you enjoyed the episode, please give us a follow on whichever platform you're listening to us on, as well as our other social media links that are in the description below. And if you feel like it, you can give us a rating there as well. We'll be back soon, and we hope you can join us then.